What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 613th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. It's super effective. I'm your host, Steve. With me is Hannah.
I am here. I have complaints. I have complaints.
Oh, no.
Just one complaint, more like, but I feel very strongly about it.
It took over a year, but finally we have Hannah to be the complainer.
No, it's... I've complained about this before.
She has fully made it into this show.
Took a little while.
We also have Bobby here. Bobby, please tell me you have complaints too.
Probably, but I am also addicted to the music of Pokemon Sleep now. Which is wonderful. At least Cyan Beach.
I should have guessed you would like that one. You might not like Topolo as much as I do.
Okay. Yeah, I might be staying at the beach for weeks to come.
No, you'll learn very quickly that the beach has nothing good.
Except the music.
I'm like 3 days in the beach, and I'm like, why am I here?
Oh, should have gone to Topolo.
Yeah, I could have gotten Onix. I got a Pinsir I didn't have before, so that's like a plus.
Okay.
There you go.
I was getting some Igglybuff spawns, and that helps. I don't have a good one of those yet.
All right, well, yeah. We don't have a lot of news this week because we are recording on a Wednesday because I leave for Florida on Thursday. So if I saw you, great, thanks, awesome. I'm sure it was a good weekend. I will say, though, because I always do my disclosures, even though it's like a $12 ticket to attend a regionals, I do have to disclose that the Pokemon Company did provide me with a $12 ticket. I know sometimes there's like YouTube comments of like, why does Steve always say the Pokemon Company pays for them? Because I have to, legally, according to the U.S. government, as no matter how, if it was a $5 thing or a $1,000 thing, Uncle Sam needs me to tell you guys. That's just what it comes down to, so.
Yeah.
I always try to get the disclosures out of the way. So we have some Pokemon Sleep, some Pokemon Go, some Pokemon Anime, and the Pokemon TCG stuff this episode. So it happens to work out because that's what we've been talking about. Everything that isn't Scarlet and Violet. Let's just talk with Pokemon Sleep. There's not a lot happening, but they did push an in-app update saying 1.5 is coming, which that means something big usually. Normally.
Theoretically. We Does just it? Don't know what yet.
Okay. So their point updates, they're like, point updates are typically bigger or versus like a 2.0? Like, that would be huge.
Well, I think Raikou was, I could be wrong, so feel free to correct me in the comments. I think Raikou was 1.4, and then there was 1.4.1, which was fixing the one thing, and then 1.4.2, which was fixing another thing.
Yeah, and we are on 1.4.3. At this point, I think that the main thing with version 1.5 was that they were going to make it not available to Android 6 anymore. Was that what I saw?
Android 7?
Yeah.
Right.
The one that's 8 years old.
Yeah. I think it was 7 I saw.
Yeah. Android 7.
Mm-hmm. I heard that like certain flip phones can't play Pokemon Sleep. And
yeah.
Flip? You mean like foldable phones?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I was like, I don't think any flip phone can play Pokemon Sleep.
New flip phones.
My Motorola yeah. Razr cannot play Pokemon Sleep. My LG Chocolate just struggling to play Pokemon Sleep.
I had two of those and I loved them.
I had the T-Mobile Sidekick and I loved it.
Nice.
I had a flip phone. I was too young to remember what kind it was.
Was it not just a Motorola? Everyone just had a Razr at a certain point.
At one point, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, certain foldable phones struggle to play Sleep. I know nothing about foldables besides there's like a lot of them now. And they're
are there?
All,
there are
like,
some.
Samsung.
There are a few. There are three major companies that do them, I think.
Who's the third? There's Google Pixel. There's Samsung.
Yeah, there's Google Pixel. There's Samsung. I think there's a third.
Didn't Motorola make... Yeah, Motorola did, and they called it the
Razr. I think
Razr.
So.
They did?
Yeah, the Flip Razr. Yeah, that one.
Oh, the Flip one. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yep. Are there specific ones that don't work, or is it just...
I'm not sure. I'm not... Yeah, just bit me. he's very mad at me, because I won't play with him. I'm not... I'm not sure. This episode's off the rails already.
What we get for a Wednesday episode.
Here's our, what's our speculation here? Do we think they're going to do Entei first or Suicune first?
What's the Pokedex order there? I always get them mixed up.
I believe Suicune is last out of the three in the Pokedex order, but let me verify real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a poster with all of the Pokemon on my wall right now.
It's Raikou, Entei, Suicune is the, the order.
Then I would guess Entei next. That just seems
they just Pokedex logical. Order.
Yeah.
Obviously, Entei at the beach doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. No.
Entei like in Topolo does title. Make sense.
Mm-hmm. In Topolo, yeah.
But I'm still kind of convinced that if they do it at all in a non-green grass island, they will also have an option for green grass. I'm not convinced they would do an event just on a non-green green grass island.
It would be nice to see, Entei is here. You can either choose green grass or you can choose Topolo.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
But one is harder than the other when it comes to powering up.
As someone who wasn't really playing, well, didn't play at all before the Raikou event, Did the spawns change on green grass before the Raikou event? Or are there still only specific things that are going to spawn on green grass, regardless of like whether there was a Raikou event or not?
Raikou didn't bring any unique spawns to green grass. Like slightly increased the chance of electric Pokemon.
Okay. But all those electric Pokemon were already available to be found on green grass prior to Raikou. So if Entei came to green grass, it would be the same. This like most likely the same Pokemon would be able to show up along with Entei on green grass. It wouldn't be, and maybe they boost something, but like the ones that were already there would probably be the ones that would spawn.
Fire Pokemon are even on green grass besides Charmander.
So you get an influx of Charmander. Growlithe?
No. I think Growlithe's on green grass.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Have they done in the past where there's like an event, but it's multiple?
Yeah. Places there was the event where they introduced the Dedenne, and they also introduced some Pokemon from Lapis. And you could, that was the week that Lapis opened. Well, Lapis technically opened, I think, like 3 days beforehand or something like that, where like it opened midweek and like people jumped to it midweek, which was those hardcore players.
A choice.
And then when that event started, you could either go to Greengrass or you could go to Lapis.
Got it.
There was a very small percentage of players that had that choice because you have to be pretty far in the game to have Lapis unlocked. So you were kind of forced.
Yeah.
There was also a week where they boosted shiny Pokemon, and it was like six Pokemon that were shiny. I had like spent way too long in a YouTube thumbnail about it, and then that YouTube thumbnail ended up being a very bad click thing for YouTube for the podcast. But it was like Absol, Jigglypuff, Pinsir, and then like three other Pokemon that had increased shiny. And you could go to any island, but some islands like Topolo spawned none of those Pokemon. So there was no point in going to Topolo. Mm. And then like Greengrass spawned all of them. But like if people wanted Absol, they were like just Absol. You would go to like Tundra. It was like really weird. Like it was technically every island, but they were not equal by any means.
Yeah.
But it was nice you got the choice.
Sad that I missed a shiny event. I hope they bring one around again.
Well, you haven't gotten any shinies yet, right?
No.
Okay, interesting.
I call myself a shiny hunter.
All my shinies are bad.
Yeah.
And I don't even have that many. They introduced Dedenne with Raikou, technically. Like, Dedenne was like the new Pokemon like a week before Raikou came out or whatever.
2 weeks. Yeah. Okay.
I would assume they would maybe do like a new fire Pokemon. I don't know what that would be, like Ponyta.
That one would be popular. What other Larvesta. Popular fire type Pokemon would they have that would look cute when asleep? Because I think that's another factor.
I think people would be surprised at how cute Volcarona can look sleeping.
Do you have any Gen 5 Pokemon? I mean, we have Dedenne is Gen 6 and Gallade is Gen 4, so they have
Unova unconfirmed. No Unova Pokemon in Pokemon Sleep? How sad.
I actually don't think there is any Unova Pokemon.
They're saving it for Pokemon Sleep Black and White, where it's only Unova Pokemon.
Yeah, only Unova. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would assume that this 1.5 is getting ready for the next Legendary. Also, before we move on to Pokemon Go, I've not used Dedenne at all this past week, and I'm regretting it. Because I don't... I think Dedenne is so good.
Dedenne is amazing.
Why aren't you using Dedenne? You just found...
Because I'm on beach, better... and so all my Pokemon... It's like Oranberry, Pekkaberry, which is Wigglytuff, Oranberry's water Pokemon, and then the Flying Berry. I don't know, remember what that's called. But I have Pokemon that match all those. And Dedenne doesn't match. So I was like, okay, I'm go all in. I for the first time ever, I have like five Pokemon that match all of these.
Nice. And Dedenne is electric, not fairy, right?
Of course. Dedenne is electric in this game. Yeah. I felt like I was critting once a day with Dedenne.
Yeah. I have had a day where I crit every single meal because of my Dedenne, or at least in part thanks to my Dedenne. And I mean, my Dedenne does not collect the most berries, does not collect the most ingredients, but that skill is so useful.
I have like a Slowking, and it's possibly the best Slowking you could have. And it gets Slowking Tails, because it's the only Pokemon that can get Slowking Tails, is the Slowpoke line.
Eventually, Ditto.
And Slowking is better than Slowbro. There's no difference. It's just Slowking is like 0.1% better than Slowbro. And it just feels so useless on my team. It just...
Oh, no.
Like, I don't know how you get it. Like, there probably is a better Slowking out there, but my Slowking matches everything that should be good, and it just feels completely useless. And I probably will switch it out for Dedenne just because it barely gets any berries. It barely gets any Slowpoke Tails. It has, like, Ingredient Finder M.
Yeah, I'm feeling like almost any team I want to have going forward is going to need to have Dedenne and Wigglytuff on it. Mm. Just the combination of those two.
Yeah, you could sub out Wigglytuff for Espeon or the Ralts line.
Mm-hmm. Right, but the Ralts line
is from Lapis, right? You have to get Ralts from Lapis. So that is...
I'm still 16 more sleep styles away from that.
Oh, nice.
So
I'm much closer than I was before the Raikou event.
That's good. Yeah, I have an Igglybuff right now that I know I'm using, but I'm months from Lapis, probably.
Pokemon Go! There was actually a lot of Pokemon Go news this morning, so very convenient. Thank you, Niantic. Before we get to the news this morning, they didn't announce the April Community Day will be Bellsprout. It is on April 20th. Some people celebrate that day for... whatever reason. People celebrate a lot of days. I think it was like National Donut Day the other day. But it is on Saturday, April 20th from 2 to 5. Just also a fun fact about Bellsprout. Its Pokedex number is 69.
I'm sure there's no coincidence. Amazing. There.
Yeah,
is a coincidence there is what I meant. Sorry.
Also gets the move Magical Leaf.
Yep.
Whoever planned out this community day
out with this.
They thought hard about it.
They were very excited to bring this community day to life.
Yeah. They've been waiting years for this. They're like, when is the next time April 20th is on a weekend?
Like here the news about this isn't like Bellsprout being shiny or that it's on 420. I think the news to take away from this is Niantic is not afraid to still do Gen 1 community days.
Well, I think at least in our Slack, there was a poll to ask how many shiny Bellsprout people had, and most people still don't have many, if any. I don't have a single one yet.
Yeah, I might have two.
Yeah, and I got them years apart. Yeah, it's definitely one that's not... I don't think it's been in anything. I'm trying to think if there's any event that really... Because when it was released, it was just released, I think, during some random event.
It was Kanto Tour it got released, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It came out before Kanto Tour.
Because I have one from...
Because I remember I got it the day it was released, and that was like the first time I've ever gotten like a shiny day of release.
Yeah.
Was Bellsprout.
I got one on I got one in on February 8th, 2019. So,
okay. Wasn't it like a save the trees, plastic is bad event? That's how they event? That's how they label it in America. Save the trees, plastic is bad.
That's possible.
Isn't the week you're talking about, Steve, the
Save the Trees, Plastic is Bad.
Sustainability Week.
Isn't it the week after the Bellsprout Community Day?
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there you go. Trubbish is supposed to be.
And by the way, I was looking at the completely wrong Bellsprout. My first shiny Bellsprout was from July 19th, 2020. So, year and a half after I thought it was. But no. That still was prior to Kanto Tour. So.
Yeah. Okay, so this is April.
Might have been GoFest.
And then May should be Popplio.
Theoretically.
And then June should be whatever the scam dragon Goomy. Was last year.
Right, it'll be Goomy from last
Goomy.
Year.
Goomy, yeah. Goomy. Yeah,
yeah. June will be Goomy.
Which is a good shiny.
Yeah.
Great shiny. I somehow got two of them last year during GoFest, and neither were from raids. Like, because they were in the wild. That was kind of the first time they did it where it was in the wild as well. And I got two of them during GoFest. So that was
surprising. In research, I think, too.
Or maybe it was research. But they weren't only in raids.
Yeah, was there was something else.
Different.
I got a shiny Goomy, not raiding.
Yeah, but the research was do 5 raids or something like that, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe.
That would not surprise me.
I was raiding, just not for Goomy.
That sounds, that feels like the right thing.
Yeah, that does. I feel like they usually, because like GoFest isn't until in July though, right? I feel like they do the at least this is how it happened like last year and the year before, the community day for last year's Dragon Raid Pokemon is like right after GoFest. And I feel like it's always to remind everyone who just raided a bunch, like, by the way, this is going to be next year's thing, and you just spent a bunch of money for no reason.
Yeah. People fall for it every year still.
I fall for it every year, so.
I'm so close this year. If they were doing Shiny Jangmo-O at the in-person GoFests at the New York one, I would do the raids there, but they're not. So,
they are, saving aren't they? Me. Are they not?
The Shiny's not. The Shiny is only at the Global.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not going to do it for the Global. The hype's not there.
They forgot to add the shiny symbol.
No, it was announced. It was one of the first things that was announced.
Wow.
It's a very good shiny. It's one of my favorite shinies, and I'm going to be patient.
It's a great... That is the opposite reaction of what I have whenever any of this stuff happens.
I am going to try to be patient.
Well, they did announce more stuff for GoFest. Speaking of GoFest, Sendai was sold out as of this morning. Only Saturday is sold out. The pre-sale sold out. So they did allow more tickets. I don't know where these people are staying because the whole area of Sendai doesn't have any hotels. And anytime I go to a hotel site to double check, they're like, the nearest hotel is 2 hours away. Would you like to book?
That's where people
are
staying.
Gonna have to get there on the bullet train every morning.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know, take a 13-hour flight to Japan. Maybe a 2-hour train ride is not terrible afterwards. 2-hour
train ride every day. I do wonder how expansive the, like, play in Sendai. Like, because Sendai itself is not big. So, like, is that going to extend to, like, Fukushima? Is that going to extend to, like, we don't know what the play area is. I think for New York, it was... like every borough you could play in. It was like really, really, it wasn't just like Manhattan. It was like all of New York. And I think I didn't realize that. Jersey, where people were like, yeah, I was like across the lake and I was still getting spawns. Not lake, wow, river.
I think so. Wow. Yeah.
Gave Jersey a chance too.
Yeah. Jersey got something finally. They announced the official Pokemon Go Fest 2024 t-shirt. You can buy it. It looks like it is shipping. It is a purple with a prism Pokeball and just slap Necrozma right across of it. It is okay. When I say slap, it's not like the image from Bulbapedia, which a lot of like merchandise is like, what image can we have from Bulbapedia from Ken Sugimori? Slap it on, charge you $40. This does look like a new piece of artwork of Necrozma.
Maybe. I mean, it's head on, which is not usually a Pokemon artwork, but they've done that of Necrozma before.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a stock image from somewhere. And this is also, This is where I have my complaint. I said this last year for this shirt, for last year's shirt that I'm wearing right now, they need to move the design up by an inch or an inch and a half. I don't know why they've decided to center the design around the solar plexus. That's not how a t-shirt's supposed to work.
Mm-hmm. Here's mine from 2021. Look how much higher it is.
Like, didn't used to be this way.
This is where it's supposed to be.
The design is still too low. It looks fine in-game. They released the picture of the models in-game wearing it, and the in-game models look fine. The design is 1 or 2 inches higher relative to the in-person t-shirt, and the in-person t-shirt is different, and it's wrong.
So you're saying a man designed this t-shirt?
Yes. Yes. And it looks bad on everybody as a result.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it looks fine. The design is neat. The color is different. I need more purple in my wardrobe. The design needs to be higher.
And it is a light. It's like a lavender. It's like a very light purple.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's a. Yeah, lavender is maybe it. It's not pastel.
No.
But it's a lighter purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with Hannah that the design is too low. I will say, Niantic does a lot of things wrong. They barely do anything right. Whoever they work with for clothing, that was a right decision. I have gotten multiple shirts that I've purchased from Niantic, and they always just feel better than like shirts from like Pokemon Center or what you get at like Target. I don't like the Pokemon
Center. Definitely that.
I don't know. I feel like the Pokemon Center has good quality t-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like the Pokemon Center shirts are too boxy.
Interesting. There's like, well, they're different.
That's fair.
They feel like very 90s.
I guess I would say that of my Pokemon Worlds 2019 shirt that is boxier and a sturdier fabric.
Mm-hmm. It is sturdier,
but
too.
The ones that I've gotten from the Pokemon Center are usually closer to what I get from Niantic, which is kind of a really comfortable fabric.
Yep.
That just kind of you take it out of the packaging and go, oh, this feels like a high quality shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I will say I do have a couple shirts from Pokemon Center that are a little bit boxier, a little bit, they fit kind of weird. But I would say Niantic, like to Steve's point, is like the best shirts I've ever worn for the way I like to wear my shirts. They fit just right. And then Pokemon Center, I feel like, is second to that with their shirts. Like, I do really enjoy the Pokemon Center shirts as well. But yeah, Niantic, for some reason, I didn't buy the 2023 Go Fest shirt last year, but I will say it is still available, at least in some sizes. So I was able to pick up one of those today along with the 2024 shirt. But yeah, Niantic shirts, doing it right. Maybe they should move to selling more clothing.
The structure is right. The design is
right. There is still, is yes, low. There are definitely still.
Yeah,
it's not Niantic without an issue, right? Like, you gotta have something.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, sure. It's not even like it's Gilladin or Gladian or whatever that one shirt brand is.
Gladian.
Gladion. It's not like a Hanes.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out if you were trying to pronounce the Pokemon character.
No. It's like
company?
Gildan,
I think.
Gildan. I hate Gildan shirts.
Yeah.
It's not.
They all feel boxy to me. Mm-hmm. The Gildan shirts always feel boxy.
And they're not soft at all.
Mm-mm.
Also, when like
sandpaper.
I have made some merch before, and like Gildan is like the bottom, like the cheapest here you can get when you're making a shirt. I guess if you wanted to like maximize your profits, you would go Gildan. They also announced this morning was Necrozma is coming to GoFest in Raids.
It's on the shirt, so I would hope so.
It is on the shirt. Crazy. Necrozma, the Prism Pokemon, will make its worldwide debut in Pokemon Go in Raids during GoFest Global. They also updated the website a little bit. We see that 3-star raids will have Espeon wearing a day scarf and Umbreon wearing a night scarf. This is different than the Eevee wearing the sun crown or the moon crown, unless they're not telling us that the crown morphs into a scarf when you evolve it. I don't think that happens.
That would be new.
Yeah.
Clothing item dramatically changing.
But
the clothing item evolves.
But they have definitely done an Eeveelution who has something that the other ones don't. Glaceon in the like winter cape is a good example, or maybe the only example. But
yeah,
so this would be kind of interesting if they ended up like at some point doing each Eeveelution has its own unique. I mean, it's another way to get people to raid, right? And, like, make more money on that. But it would be kind of interesting for like each Eeveelution to have a unique costume of its own down the line. So I like these ones, these scarves on Espeon and Umbreon.
Yeah, I mean, they are very clearly trying to make sure these are raids people want to do. In the 1-star raids, in the 3-star raids, in the 5-star raids, we have the shiny Jangmo-O, we have the Eeveelutions with the new costumes, and we have the shiny Necrozma. So they're trying to make sure people want to do these raids, which is fair. Things being locked to raids is a thing, but I understand why they do it.
Money.
Yeah. It works for them.
Yep.
I mean, to be fair, like if you were to purchase the Raid Lover thing, which is what, like 18 free passes a day, and you get it for all the days you play. It's a good deal, and even me, who has given Niantic way too much money and is always upset about it, and is, I would consider myself a hardcore Pokemon Go player. Sometimes you just get distracted with other stuff. You don't raid as much as you anticipate. What I'm saying is, like, if you purchase the Raid Lover Pass, you need to burn your raids on something. So it's nice that you can burn your raids on something that isn't just like Nidoqueen or like like Dodria, right. Like something that's like, oh, why is this in raids? I don't need this. It can't even be shiny. Like, it's cool that like this is a new Pokemon. It can be shiny. Well, a new costume. It can be shiny. It seems easy enough to do for people that are like, I bought the Raid Lover Pass. There's only like me and one other person. We can't do Stakataka, so Stakataka's not even in the game. We can't do we can't do Tapu Bulu with two people, but we can at least do Espeon wearing a day scarf. So yes, it is money grabby, but also it feels more respectful of people who purchased a Raid Lover who maybe don't care to do the Ultra Beast because they already got them, or they don't have enough people to do them, or they. Like, let's be honest here. Espeon and Umbreon are incredibly popular Pokemon.
Umbreon is, at least. Espeon is less so, but still very popular. Not as popular as Umbreon, though.
Okay, fine. I will say, I'm surprised they haven't leaned into that a little more with the 1-star. One star has always been kind of fine, right? Because they will throw easier Pokemon who are maybe newer shinies, things like that, into a 1-star raid. 5-star raids have been 5-star raids forever. And then 3-star raids have always had that weird middle ground where most of the time
they're bad.
They aren't worth doing. They are if you are looking for very specific things, but
while the thing they did with 3-star raids was they put Pokemon in there that were strong against the 5-star raids. So
right,
if you didn't have a Pokemon to battle the 5-star raids, you could do a 3-star raid and get a Pokemon for the 5-star raid from that. That was, for a long time, the gimmick.
That's true.
The problem is that a lot of people don't need those Pokemon.
Right. And I think that there is something to putting Pokemon that are popular, but also ones that can be shiny, because there for a long time there weren't shiny Pokemon in 3-star raids. There would almost never be like a shiny, something that could be shiny in a 3-star raid. But things that allow people to solo raid or just raid with one other person, because like you said, like sometimes you don't have 5 or 6 people to raid with to do the 5-star raids, so they're not, you know, so maybe you can't get those 5-star raids, but put something in 3-star raids. That's also popular, also fun to want to raid, and you can raid with one or two people. And feels like they haven't really done that in the past. And then, but seeing this, like, oh, that's Umbreon with a moon scarf. Like, people love Umbreon. It can also be shiny. It's got a new costume. It's in 3-star raids. I don't have friends to raid with, but cool, I can do this on my own or just grab one other person to raid with. And I'm surprised that they haven't leaned more into that outside of events. They're starting to go that way. Like, the 3-star raids outside of events do have more, like, shiny opportunity now that more shiny Pokemon are in the game. But it would be fun to see. I don't know, maybe like more. I love costumed Pokemon. So if they wanted to like start adding more, I know that's a real controversial thing because some people hate costume Pokemon, but I just think it'd be interesting to have them lean into more fun 3-star raids for, especially for people who don't have groups of 5 or 6 to do those 5-star raids.
I will say I also prefer it when they also have an opportunity to get those newer Pokemon or more exciting Pokemon in research, mm-hmm. as well as in raids, especially research that isn't win 5 raids, but that's rare. Yeah, that doesn't usually happen.
That's the worst, when the research is like, oh, it's not in raids. That's great. It's going to be in research. Research, win 3 raids.
Mm-hmm.
That's worse. You should have just put it in raids.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did they say, I know like if you go to the global page and you hit learn more, you can see like everything that's supposed to be spawning. Like 1-star raids is Pikachu, Pikachu, Jangmo-oh. 3-star raids are the Umbreon, Espeon. 5-star raids are Nihiligo, Buzzwole, Pheromosa, Zerkatree, Celesteela, Kartana, Guzzlord, and Necrozma. Is there not going to be like a day and night theme at this GoFest like they did for Sinnoh Tour, where it was current time and then like the ultra distortion, the space-time distortion? So they did like a half hour of non-space time and then a half hour of space time.
Space-time anomaly in Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Anomaly, not the distortion. There's a reason for that. So wouldn't like Pikachu and the Moon Crown appear at like the night, and then Pikachu with the Sun Crown during the day, and then I would assume some Ultra Beasts would be at night and some would be during the day? Otherwise, that just seems like it's too random of when Ultra Beasts can come out. Like, the most disappointing thing that could happen is like you're playing worldwide in your city. Your city only has like 2 gyms.
And like, they did announce the 4 habitats, so I think that's what you're looking for there, the rotating habitats kind of thing. And so they announced 2 habitats being kind of daytime habitats and 2 habitats being nighttime habitats. At least this is on the global news. I'm assuming it's going to be for the in-person ones too, similar to how they've done it in the past. Yeah. But they have the Dawn Meadow habitat, the Shining Day habitat, the Creeping Dusk habitat, and the Darkest Night habitat.
These were all generated by AI. Like, give us the most generic.
No, I think they're fine.
But inside, so even like GoFest or Sinnoh Tour LA had habitats. 4 habitats you could walk to, but inside those, every half hour, it still changed.
Yeah. You're wondering, would they do that, something like that, because you wouldn't want. I mean, yeah, to your point, there are 8 different 5-star raids that could possibly be occurring.
Right. So if there's 8 and there's 4 habitats, it would break in half?
No, I see your point, though. If, like you said, if you're in a town and there's like a few gyms, what is to say you don't end up with, 3 Kartana, right? Like there's a big variety of Pokemon like that, like of 5-star raids. So I know they typically do, what are they doing now, 30-minute increments for raids? So they'll switch them out like every 30 minutes typically for these raid events?
For a raid day, they do kind of reset the raids every 30 minutes at this point, so that if you only have 3 gyms nearby you and you have 3 hours to do the raid day, then you have 6 opportunities to do those raids.
Right. I think Sinnoh Tour was that way too. Like all the raids were resetting like every 30 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes as well.
But also, Steve, I think you're thinking too much of the in-person events where there's actual physical locations to go to with the different habitats based on that. On the global ones with the different habitats, that's usually based on time.
Yeah.
At least historically. So it's going to rotate through those over time. And yeah, the raids are probably going to be broken down into a different subset per habitat.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Because the global Sinnotaur didn't do the same 30-minute thing that the in-person LA one did, where it, like it was the back half was did they
time distortions.
It was also the same for the global. I didn't remember that for the global one, but I remember for the LA one, yeah, like the back half of the hour was distortion, so you were getting the origin form Palkia and Dialga in raids, and the front half was the modern, like the regular Dialga and Palkia for the LA Sinnotaur.
No, yeah, they still did the back half, because when it turned into the space-time anomaly, not distortion, that was your only chance of getting the horse forms.
Right, but in the global tour, that was every hour they switched between the space-time, like the Hisui stuff, and then hour it was, yeah, mm-hmm. And at the global one, that was switched per hour, but at the LA one, it was switched every 30 minutes.
Yeah,
it was every half hour.
Yeah.
That they switched it.
Okay, then I am misremembering. Got it.
But they could do the same thing with these habitats in the same way. They could hourly, when they switch the habitat per hour on the global one, they could switch. Okay, now you're going to see these, because there's eight. So they could do these two Pokemon, these two 5-star raids will happen between, you know, these hours, and then switch it every hour so that mm-hmm. it's not just eight random ones every single time.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that like, that one was four legendary Pokemon, technically. Two Palkias, two Dialgas. And this is eight Pokemon.
Yeah.
A lot.
It is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did they say anywhere whether Celesteela and Kartana would be respective to their regions?
Just shows them both. It just shows them in the pool of eight.
If they're not, which is fine. Well, not fine. It's would be expected. That's like seven Pokemon instead of eight, and eight fits into four a lot better. If they are saying Nihiligo and Buzzwole is the first habitat, and Pheromos and Zerkatree is the second one, like
I could see them having them all, and kind of doing away with the Hemisphere thing for this event, just because it's Go Fest.
They already milked people at this point. They already like.
Multiple times, three times.
They've already done the Kartana Celesteela milking phase multiple times.
At this point, although if they do break these different 5-star raids down into kind of two Pokemon per habitat chunks, Necrozma is going to be harder to get.
That's true.
Isn't it the new one? Well, maybe. They want people to raid for the new one. That's why they made it shiny.
That making it shiny is interesting, because that kind of shows that they do want people to raid it a bunch versus maybe just doing a one and done kind of thing, which would make more sense if they were just introducing it without the shiny.
Well, like Necrozma is a weird exception because like it's not, cannot spend a half hour on this, but I would. It's not an Ultra Beast. So it like it's a weird exception because it's not an Ultra Beast here. It's not an Ultra Beast in general. And so they can milk Necrozma in a different way. They can do Necrozma. They can do Ultra Necrozma. They can do Dawn Wings Necrozma. They can do Duskmane Necrozma.
Mm-hmm.
This being shiny is like, here's your Necrozma that's going to be the worst out of the other four. Like, we have three other Necrozmas that are significantly better than this one.
Right.
If they're thinking, how do we get the most money out of our customers? They'll go crazy and spend a bunch of money to try to get the shiny. And then guess what? We got three more Necrozmas in the closet that you're going to do the same thing for. And they're going to be better than this one.
Well, we don't know how they're releasing Pokemon that fuse. Because like we haven't had that yet. I mean, we did have that.
We had that for 6 hours. And then they pulled it from people because they accidentally...
they did that. But the way they did that wasn't raids. The way they did that was... Go Battle League.
I don't think it was supposed to be there.
Obviously, they took it away from people.
There's only three Pokemon in the game that like you can change forms. That would be like Hoopa, Furfru,
and Shaymin. Mm-hmm. And then they gave up.
They just milk the heck out of this. They'd give you Necrozma, And then eventually Solgaleo and Lunala come to raids because they're just going to do that again. Because you can only get one anyways. And that's just easy money for them. And then they're just going to do Dawnwings Necrozma and Dawnwings Necrozma. Duskmane and Dawnwings. Just like when White Kyurem and Black Kyurem come, like your current Kyurem is useless. There's nothing that's going to like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still hoping they will do adventure effects on some of these Pokemon, though. I want to see more of those.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think Necrozma is good enough for an adventure effect, but I think like a Duskmane or a Dawnwings would be
those
what they would save it for. Like, I guess I'm a little shocked that they're going all in on Ultra Beast plus Necrozma and not Solgaleo and Lunala are not here.
Well, they're not fully going all in because we still don't have Blacephalon or Stakataka.
Yeah, or, well, I guess we have Poiple.
We have Poiple.
But like Poiple's also not here.
Yeah.
You also can't evolve Poiple, though. So we only have Poiple. And that was also a sad release of that Ultra Beast. It was just like, here it is, step one of the research.
Yep.
You get Poiple.
You've got it. You're good. Yeah. We don't need to worry about it any longer.
I guess like Poiple makes sense in that because like in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, it was a gift.
It's a gift. Yeah, you're
the right. Crown Tundra DLC, it was a gift. In Niantic, it was a gift of please play our game. Please play the season. Please.
Yeah, I guess so. I think that, to your point, I think they're going, they'll milk Necrozma for years, I'm sure. Just like they do with everything else. But I do think, and again, I think Solgaleo and Lunala Lunala will also come back in raids when it can be shiny. I would imagine like they'll bring them. That's when you could probably get a shiny one. Will be in raids. Yeah, I don't know. They still need to give us a fourth Cosmog so I can finish the line because right now I don't have Lunala because I don't want to evolve my Cosmoem until I have a fourth one day.
Maybe.
One day, maybe.
I don't think a lot of raids is necessarily bad. I do remember the 1 year where they were like, every legendary is coming back to raids, and that was like Gen 1 through 3 or something.
That was a GoFest?
Yeah, that was a GoFest.
Yeah.
That was...
It was the second global one.
Yes.
The 2021 GoFest.
Okay.
And I remember that being like a really good raid day. It felt like fresh. Because like if you think about the last one with the Sinnoh tour, it was like, do you have Dialga? Do you have Palkia? Do you have the Dialga that looks like a horse? Or the Palkia that looks like a horse? All right, you're done. Whereas it was like the birds, the beasts, Lugia, Ho-Oh, Groudon, Kyogre, Latias, Latios.
They made a whole day out of that, didn't they?
Like, yeah, they did.
Because in past, they were like, okay, Saturday is this kind of like, it's kind of more focused toward story and catching things. And then Sunday is like raid day.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like GoFest raid day. Yeah. Okay. I do remember that.
Yeah. They made like an event out of that.
I mean, I will say on the website for the Sunday on GoFest, it does also have like Sunday is a little bit different than Saturday in that Sunday, it says there won't be any actual rotating habitat hours. So on Sunday, all the Pokemon will just appear throughout the day. So I could see them doing Saturday rotating habitats with the raids rotating. And then Sunday, you could have all 8 of the 5-star raids just happening throughout the day as well, which would kind of get both sides satisfied there, where maybe you'll be able to stack up on Necrozma that day if you want.
We don't think like this GoFest isn't going to give us like this is going to be our fourth Cosmog. Like, is that probably not going to be part of the story research that they do?
Maybe, but they've been pushing Marshadow and everything, so I feel like they're going to focus more that way, and then raids like Ultra Beasts and things.
Yeah,
more like legendary / Ultra Beasts for raids versus.
Thank you for disclosing that they're not all Ultra Beasts here.
Which. That for you. Although Necrozma in the video that Niantic posted this morning, Necrozma comes out of an ultra wormhole.
It does. Solgaleo and Lunala can open an ultra wormhole too. They're not ultra beasts.
True. That's true. That's true. That's true. Yeah. What? Yeah.
They are from what ultra really space, do, which I understand.
They should do is, yeah, they should switch it so that we are traveling through ultra space during GoFest. Switch up the whole thing, the whole map, and have like a half hour at a time. We're traveling through ultra space to go get those ultra beasts.
They've that been doing be a lot of to... new encounter screens, but I don't think they're up for that.
Yeah.
The real test will be to see if they bring beast balls back and to see if they use the beast balls for Necrozma.
This was my biggest complaint.
Because that would be.
Because it wouldn't work. We know that the beast ball doesn't work on Necrozma. That's part of the reason why it's not an ultra beast. Here's 30 minutes of me complaining. Number one, Necrozma does not have beast boost. Every single ultra beast has beast boost. Number two, the beast ball does not work on Necrozma. Number three... this is the thing that Serebii said for the longest time, that like the code doesn't say that it is. And then in Scarlet and Violet, they did actually code out that all of these Pokemon are Ultra Beasts, but Necrozma, Cosma, Cosmoem, Solgaleo, Lunala, they are under the legendary category. They did make a separate category for Ultra Beasts. In the video game, Dulce of the Ultra Recon Squad says Necrozma is like an Ultra Beast. In the anime, they say it's reminiscent of an Ultra Beast, but it's not. It's even if you don't believe the anime or the game for whatever reason, the beast ball doesn't work on it, and it doesn't have beast boost. But yes, it is from Ultra Space. That doesn't mean it's an Ultra Beast. Also, we know in the games that Ultra Beasts are very common in their world. That's why when you take the portal to the thing and you get there, there's like a bunch of Zerkatrees running around, and it's very cute. There's not that world for Necrozma, Solgaleo, Lunala, because they're not common. They're something special. They're legendary.
Anybody wants to go back to any older episode of It's Super Effective and clip out where Steve was ranting about Necrozma not being an Ultra Beast, I am sure there are 15 to 20 episodes where you can find this rant.
I'm sure at this point you can probably get a good half an hour.
So, okay.
If Niantic messes this up, I'm going to be so mad. The Beast Ball does not work on Necrozma.
In order to bite on this, what is Necrozma if not an Ultra Beast then, Steve, as it's floating out there through Ultra Space?
It's just a legendary. I don't think Necrozma is any different than like an Eternatus or like a Deoxys.
Okay. It's just a legendary that also can travel through, that also travels through Ultra Space, like Solgaleo and Lunala.
Yeah.
So I'm not riding my Kyogre through Ultra Space. I'm not even riding my Deoxys through Ultra Space.
Look, I bet you could ride a Rayquaza through Ultra Space or a Deoxys. I'm sure they could.
Maybe
even a Staryu or a Clefairy. They're from space. They're both from space. It says in the Pokedex. I'm not making that up. We need to take a break.
We need a Minior. That's what we need.
Yes.
All right. When we come back, we got some TCG stuff and some anime stuff. We will be right back. This podcast is brought to you by Factor. You can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every one of these meals is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted and dietitian-approved. I am neither a chef nor a dietitian, but I can confirm that they are delicious. Factor has a menu of 35 different options, and you can choose from Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Veggie, Vegan, all of that stuff. And there are 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, beverages, all that stuff to help you feel good all day long. My favorite thing about Factor is it's not messy. It's all in the tray. You eat it. You toss it when you're done. No dishes. My favorite part of the whole meal situation is not doing the dishes. Factor is also tailored to your schedule, so you can pause when you need to. You can reschedule to fit your lifestyle. If that sounds good, head over to factormeals.com/PKMNCAST50 and use code PKMNCAST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code PKMNCAST50 at factormeals.com /PKMNCAST50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. If you would like to support the show, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST. And for $5 a month, you can get ad-free episodes and you can get bonus episodes every month as well. That's like $1.25 a week to not hear any ads and to get a bonus episode in your podcast feed every single month. On top of that, we have tiers that send out stickers and posters and mugs. You get to join our Slack community, and we have a couple other cool things coming down the pipeline. But if you want behind the scenes, if you want ad-free episodes, if you want to join our Slack, and you want bonus episodes, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to get some cool rewards. You can also just sign up for Patreon for free. There's a little free button. You can hit that button. And you'll at least get updates coming. Also, a great way to support the show is just heading over to our Patreon and hitting that join for free button, as we are very close to 1,000 members over there. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. And we are back from our break. We have some TCG news. It's off Poke Beach. There's supposed to be a special English Scarlet and Violet 6.5 set to release in August, which is, I wonder if they're trying to line this up with Worlds. Oh, it's right before Worlds, August 2nd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will follow Twilight Masquerade, which Bobby was saying, Bobby, correct me if I'm wrong, but this set is coming a little bit quicker than...
Twilight Masquerade?
Yeah.
Yes, Twilight Masquerade comes out May 24th, which is almost exactly 2 months after... Temporal Forces, and they don't usually, it's usually 3 months between regular sets, and Twilight Masquerade is coming out 2 months, but you know, it's just 2 months between these sets, so kind of a quick release, but it makes sense if they wanted to push this special set out in August. They probably wanted to give a little bit of time between Twilight Masquerade and this set, so I guess I understand that, but yeah, there's just, it's, the cards are coming too quick. too many.
If this set is coming out right before Worlds, does that mean people are going to be able to play these cards in at Worlds?
No, that format should be locked by then.
Okay.
Should be is the keyword.
Should be.
It's also a special set, which is normally like a lot of reprints with like different art. So they would be able to play if the card text was like exactly the same, but the art was different.
Yeah.
It's saying there will be an elite trainer box with 9 booster packs, promo card, accessories, a new illustration rare with 4 booster packs, 3 promos, code card, 3 blister packs, promo card, mini tens with 2 booster packs.
The thing that's interesting to me is this new illustration rare collection box that they mentioned, that second one you mentioned, because it's 4 booster packs, 3 promo cards, and a code card. I wonder if all 3 of these promo cards will be illustration rares instead of regular cards. This would be the first time them doing an illustration rare collection. So really leaning into the illustration rares, since those were, I mean, they've done alternate art things and stuff prior to Scarlet Violet, but these illustration rares are new to the Scarlet Violet era. So be kind of cool if there were 3 illustration rare promos in the box. Just another reason to buy a collection box.
Poke Beach is also reporting that there's, we know, a trademark named Paradise Dragonia in Japan. And since this is the Year of the Dragon, and since old special sets have been dragon-themed, for example, Dragon Vault, Dragon Majesty, that this might be like a dragon-themed set.
Yeah, and those, so Dragon Vault came out in 2012, and Dragon Majesty came out in 2018, and there would be 6 years between each.
Ah, the patterns.
The Year of the Dragon, right? No, I just mean, like, is it six? Is it six between?
It is six. No. 2018 to 2024.
When was the last time it was Year of the Dragon?
Not 6 years ago. There are 12. There are 12 years ago. Animals in the Zodiac. Ago.
Yeah. So halfway through.
So 12 years ago.
The Year of the Dragon last time. Right? And the Year of the Dragon the time before that.
Was it year? So it was the Year of the Dragon for
Dragon Vault, I believe.
Dragon Vault.
2012. And not Year of the Dragon for Dragon Majesty in 2018.
Yep.
As I was saying that, I was like, there are so many more than six. Yeah. Why am I saying six right now? There are absolutely more than six. Yep. 12 sounds better.
But we also don't know how many cards are in this at all.
No, I mean, knowing that it's a special set, you know, it should be less than these regular sets, although these regular sets are huge to begin with, so we'll see. I mean, there are a couple new dragon Pokemon that haven't been in the TCG yet, so this could be their time to introduce those ones to the TCG as well, which would be cool if they did do kind of a dragon themed set.
And they have been introducing the newer Pokemon from the DLCs already, so that wouldn't be too surprising.
Yeah. And there was some talk about, because there looks like there's another set coming out in Japan in July called Stellar Miracle, where they're going to be introducing like Stellar Terra cards. And so they were saying they could make this a part of that as well, but it kind of seems like it might be more dragon related this time around. So we'll see what comes up as time goes on. But yeah, at this point, we just know pretty much the first wave of products coming out, which is not, you know, which is typical with like every special set. There's no booster boxes. There's no single sleeved booster packs. You kind of have to buy a collection set of some kind in order to get packs, if you're buying them, unless you're buying them secondhand.
Right.
Which probably don't do that. It's your best interest to to not do that.
I have had such an itch to play the TCG, but then I think, TCG Live.
I was going to say this, the same feeling that I've had when I have that same itch. I'm like, yeah, maybe. And then, TCG Live.
We just need to wait until Pocket comes out.
Yeah, I think Pocket will scratch that itch, hopefully, of like shorter, quicker games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hopefully, ideal. I don't know what that looks like still, but...
And hopefully it'll still come out this year.
Yeah.
Did they say it was coming out in 2024?
They did. They did
when they
say
announced it,
year.
I forgot. Okay.
If it doesn't come out before Worlds, I would assume, like Masters, they would have like kiosks at Worlds where you could like demo it or try it. When they did that at... Oh gosh, I think that was the DC Worlds, where mm-hmm. you could try out Masters. They gave you like a pin and some other stuff for like waiting in line and playing it.
Pins. All about the pins.
Yeah. That's that Disney thing. Just whatever Disney does, let's copy it. Successful. We also got news this week that Netflix is getting part two of Horizons, March, April, relatively quickly, less than 3 months. Part two is coming to Netflix on May 10th. Liko, Roy, and the Rising Volt Tacklers are setting sail. That's all it really is. It's supposed to be 12 episodes. Oh, sorry, 12 episodes of the first one. They don't actually say how many are on part two. Yeah, quicker than 3 months, which is good.
Yeah, we might actually eventually get close to catching up with the other English episodes in places like the UK.
Yeah.
Eventually. But they're good. I'm very excited. I saw the news this morning that was going to happen way sooner than I expected, and made me happy.
I did cancel my Netflix for April.
So you got the month off, but
there you go.
Next month you'll have to get it back again. Yeah.
Right. I expected to have like 2 to 3 months off. But I guess I'll have to renew. That's like a weird conversation with my tax guy. He's like, Netflix? I have to subscribe. Good business. I'm not watching it for pleasure, I'll tell you that much. I'm watching it because I need to know what happens so I can talk about it.
It's good, though. It is good.
No, I do. I did like the first 12 episodes of Horizon a lot.
Did not watch them yet, but as we were saying earlier, my kids do like Pokemon, and we've been watching a little bit more of the anime, so I think now is the time to sit them down and show them Pokemon without Ash.
Wait, how old are your kids?
6 and 4.
Yeah.
I don't know kids' age range. Like, when does a kid stop, like, watching, like, Teletubbies or Barney or...
My kids never watched Teletubbies or Barney, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
But Bluey is like the Bluey. Big kids.
Your kids watch
show.
Bluey?
My kids, right, don't watch Bluey either. Okay. No,
what do you mean they don't watch Bluey? What, Paw Patrol?
No Paw Patrol either. They we've been watching Spirit Rangers. Spirit Rangers is great, and they just came out with season 3 yesterday, and that's great. Is that not a Spirit Rangers podcast, but
is that like that is a cuter great version of Power Rangers?
It is. No, it's the characters are Native American, and actually all of the cast and crew of that show is Native American. Oh, and they kind of follow their different things that they do throughout the state park that they the park that they run, basically. Great show. It's great for kids and adults. So Spirit Rangers, it's on Netflix.
No, what about Sesame Street?
They've watched like a couple episodes of Sesame Street, but they read some Sesame Street books. But no, Sesame Street was never a thing. I'm trying to think of the things that my kid, well, my kids like... don't watch TV. They didn't watch TV for like my son. He's the older. He's 6. He didn't watch TV for like the first 2 years, and maybe two and a half years. And then like my daughter, a little bit earlier than him. But they didn't watch a lot of TV when they were really, really young. I don't know.
I feel like Pokemon Horizons is probably especially good for Gen Alpha kids, just with the way they are doing kind of YouTube sort of stuff is built in, and apps and devices and school and just the whole vibes of it feels a lot more connected to modern children than Ash just going on adventures around the world ever did.
Right.
I know that people are always like, Pokemon, why are you playing that kids game or that, like, but there is, or like kids show, there is like Pokemon Kids, which is like for,
very
again,
small.
For like preschool, I don't know what the age is. Like, yes. If you're 6 years old, what grade are you in? Are you even at school yet?
My kids don't go to school.
You're homeschool.
But they would be, 6 years old, you'd typically be about first grade.
First grade, okay.
Yeah, but they do watch Pokemon. So one thing that we do have is YouTube, and we have YouTube Premium. But so we don't have to watch ads, but we have, they do watch like stuff on YouTube, and the Pokemon Kids channel on YouTube is wonderful as well. Like it's a bunch of songs, and it's very up to date. I mean, there are Pokemon from Paldea and stuff in these videos, like they keep them up to date, and there's like all kinds of fun stuff that they do on. It's like I think it's Pokemon Kids TV.
And yeah, I remember discovering that it existed, and I was so surprised because there's so much content
There's so many songs, there's so many different videos, and it's all from the Pokemon Company. So it's, you know, it's very up to date, which is awesome.
Yeah, I guess like what I think is like, when does a child graduate from Pokemon Kids into like the Pokemon anime? Because they're very different.
They are, but like my kids watch both Pokemon Kids and the Pokemon anime. So they switch back and forth. Like we'll watch some of the Indigo, like we watched a bunch of the Indigo League episodes, and then they'll just be like, oh, we want to watch YouTube. We want to watch Pokemon like on YouTube. And it's typically the Pokemon Kids TV stuff on there. So they switch back and forth, but I don't know. Every parent, I'm not giving parenting advice. We're not turning this into that, because that's a whole different set of comments I do not want. For me, my kids at 6 and 4, like the Pokemon anime has been fine. It's been good.
So it wasn't like they're too young to like follow, or it's too complicated for them to pay attention. Like
I remember watching the Pokemon anime when I was 6.
Well, Pokemon anime didn't exist when I was 6.
Steve and I don't have that same. I was at least 10.
I was exactly 10 when the Pokemon anime came out, so yeah. I was perfect age.
I remember crying when Misty and Brock and Ash went their separate ways. I was very young then.
I probably also cried
Misty and Ash. As a 10-year-old. Yeah.
Brock went their separate ways.
Perfect. Some other Pokemon anime news. Well, I guess it's not really anime. but Pokemon TV news. We never talked about this, but this was back in the end of February. More Pokemon Concierge episodes are coming to Netflix, which is actually, in retrospect, is kind of surprising that they didn't mention this on Pokemon Day.
Yeah. It was very popular. A lot of people really liked it.
And the first time my they did included. Announce Concierge.
My kids watched that too.
Was a Pokemon Day.
Yeah.
Oh, was it last year's Pokemon? It was last year's Pokemon Day, huh?
Yeah, it was. More episodes of Netflix's adorable animated series, Pokemon Concierge, are now in production. I am happy to let you know that we are now working on new episodes of Pokemon Concierge, said the director in a statement to Variety. This is off Variety.com. Life at the Pokemon Resort will continue. Please look forward to it. Let's see which Pokemon come to visit this time as a guest. The first four episodes premiered on Netflix on December 28th. 15-minute episodes introduced Pokemon fans to the Pokemon Resort. They didn't say how many episodes or when the second part was coming.
The first one was four episodes, right?
Yeah.
Four very short episodes, but that's not too surprising with Claymation stuff.
Yeah. No, they were still very good.
Yeah, no, they were fantastic. Mm-hmm. Or they were enjoyable.
Yeah, they weren't. Oscar you guys overhyped it. They weren't Emmy winning.
They were enjoyable. TV, but they were solidly enjoyable, and I think back on them fondly.
Yes. I would recommend them to people who want to have just like, that would work. Yeah, very chill. I think that would be a good. They should. Okay. So I was thinking about this the other day because I was saying how they should have turned Poke Pelago into like a mobile game that is like a almost like a farming, like a Stardew Valley type, like, or like a. Some kind of game like that that's like Pokemon, they could have turned that into a mobile game and made $1 billion. At least I would have spent money on it.
You would have. You definitely would have.
But that feeling of like playing the Poke Pelago thing, I feel like Pokemon Concierge is like that same feeling. You're like watching something versus playing, but it's got that same vibe, that same just very like laid back, relaxing kind of way about it. So that is my recommendation if you want to watch Pokemon Concierge.
I don't think it was worth signing up for Netflix to watch Concierge.
Well, you're gonna have to sign up for Netflix for Pokemon Horizons anyways.
That's true. I do have to sign back up.
Do you think they should have done it as like a YouTube series then instead? Like for
Pokemon
YouTube?
Concierge felt more YouTube-y to me.
YouTube-y. Not
it
Tubi,
did.
But YouTube-y.
It felt closer to the TCG, what was it called, Path to the Peak?
Oh, yeah, Path to the Peak.
I liked Path to the Peak more than Concierge, but I think it's because I like used to go to TCG tournaments, so it was like really relatable to me.
And I used to trade
I've never
cards
gone
in school.
On a resort. I've never been to a resort, so just not relatable at all.
That's fair, but the beginning's really relatable. Everything's going wrong.
Speaking of Poke Pelago, and all of that stuff, the online services for 3DS and Wii U are now shut down. What does that mean for Pokemon games? I will stress this a million times. Pokemon Bank still works. They said it would still work. It will continue to still work. There will be a day where it will no longer work, but it is still working now.
As long as you have it on your 3DS.
As long as you had it before it pulled that, because the store went down a year ago, and now the online services are ceased to exist. But Pokemon.com, support.pokemon.com, support.nintendo.com have clearly outlined that Pokemon Bank was and Transporter are the exception. Can confirm that they are still working. You can still trade Pokemon between X and Y to Auras locally, local trades, local battles, all of that stuff still works. If you want to connect with three other people and do the Pokemon Battle Royale in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, you can do that locally still. The other thing that still works is Friend Safari still works. Even if you were to add somebody today, so if I was to go up to Hannah and be like, let's exchange 3DS friend codes. One, we can still do that locally. Two, I would still be able to access her Friend Safari because Friend Safari is generated before you even start your game. I think the only thing that happens is instead of three Pokemon, you only get two Pokemon. But I actually think you can get around that if you are still local because the third Pokemon unlocks when Hannah beats the Elite Four. And as long as I do like a trade with her after she's beaten the Elite Four, that should unlock the third Pokemon for me. But regardless, you could still go to like a PAX or a C2E2 and you could still exchange friend codes locally to get Friend Safari to work in X and Y. That still works. I would assume that the Eon ticket in Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire should still work because that's just Street Pass. That's all that is. I have that ticket. Maybe if I go to Worlds or something, I'll bring my 3DS and Street Pass the four people that are desperate for an Eon ticket in that game. So there is like functionality and stuff. I don't think there's like any ribbons in X and Y or Omega Ruby that are tied to participating online. There was only Diamond and Pearl. There was one. And even there's like a workaround for that where you can just like connect, fail, battle a CPU and eventually get it or something like that. There's like a weird workaround where you can still get that ribbon if you really wanted to.
Last week, I was like, I think it was last week or the week before, I said, oh, they'll probably keep Pokemon Bank up until whatever. Like I thought it would stay around longer, but I've reassessed this thought now that I've seen that Pokemon, like the website had actually said in the past, like, while you can still do this, we would recommend you do this at your earliest convenience of transferring your Pokemon through bank to home. So like you said, like it's still up, it still works, it's fine, but maybe it's not going to be
here. We just don't know.
Years
and
to
we
come.
Don't know how much lead time they're going to give us when they finally do shut it down.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not like a day before or something, or you know, a couple days before.
We're shutting down in the next 3 hours.
Just crash everything when people are all doing it at the same time. But maybe it's a good recommendation.
They have recommended
too,
sooner rather than later, so I think it's probably safer to do it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
My assumption is that the thing that would accelerate it to shut down quicker would be security issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to put the time or resources or the manpower into trying to patch the security issue. So they're just like, all right, I guess we're done here.
Yeah.
So as long as speculation and my fingers are crossed, as long as there's no huge security issue that bothers them or Nintendo, it should be fine to continue operating.
So what are your thoughts here on this real quick? So like for me, I love SOS shiny hunting. And so it's one of the main ways that I shiny hunt. And I haven't, I guess there will be a time if I, you know, to get everything you can SOS hunt in, you know, Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. But just knowing that I, you know, at some point, once Bank does shut down, which again, it is not, can still be used today. But once it does, I don't know that I want to do that because then what am I going to, I'm not going to be able to transfer those Pokemon up. Right. So what are your thoughts? Like, do you think you would continue playing the older games and just to play them or knowing you're not going to be able to move those Pokemon up? Or is it just kind of, that's it for older Pokemon games?
I think this shocks people, and it's kind of like the joke of like me not liking HeartGold, SoulSilver. But like, I think the reality behind that like joke or me teasing older games is I don't like to go back to older games, regardless of that's Pokemon or Zelda or like whatever, right? Like when I was on the Nintendo podcast, I talked about like I had no interest in Final Fantasy VII Remake because I already played Final Fantasy VII. I played it a ton as a kid. It was like the one game I had, and I played it over and over, and I know what happens in that story. With Pokemon, I don't think I would be here on a Pokemon podcast or care about Pokemon. Like, I would still like Pokemon, obviously. I would still care about Pokemon. But the only reason I go back to old games or want to buy old games or like have 3DSs and DSs and link cables and all that stuff is because it is the one video game series that you can continue transferring things forward. Mm-hmm. And so like I'm playing Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee right now, which isn't even that old of a game, and I'm loving it. But also I know at the end of that journey, the like 8 Pokemon or whatever that I end up getting, I can move them forward. Like, I caught a shiny Primeape in that game, Mankey, evolved into Primeape. And all I think is when I caught that, when I was shiny hunting, it was like, this is going to be super cool. This is going to be an Annihilate of one day. And it's going to be an Annihilate that came from Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. I think that's so interesting and cool. I just, like, Hannah's Blaziken.
Mm-hmm.
Please talk about
safely
it.
Safely in home.
Is so
safely in home at this point.
So cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's, I've mentioned her a couple of times. I've had that Blaziken since I was like 7 years old. Since Pokemon Ruby came out, she was my first starter in Pokemon Ruby, and as the newer games came out since then, I have moved her up through all of the DS games, through all of the 3DS games. Somewhere around X and Y and Oras, I decided to start getting as many ribbons as I could on her, and so she kind of got stuck in the 3DS for a while. But over the last few weeks, I've worked really hard to get those last 3DS ribbons on her, and now she is finally in bank. And I'm checking bank every day just to say hi to her because I can actually see Blaziken on my phone now.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I've cool. had that Pokemon for more than 21 years. And the fact that that is possible is amazing.
No, yeah, I think that's so incredibly cool. And like, I know for sure we're in the minority of players of like, I know plenty of people who have never transferred a Pokemon forward. And that's fine and acceptable. I know people who shiny hunt in Pokemon Crystal, and they have no that those shinies will live in Crystal forever, and they're totally content with that. Also cool, but a huge draw to the series, and why like I've been doing a Pokemon podcast for almost 14 years. There's like a reason to like actually go back and play older games because you can move those forward. Like I haven't had time to do it. I still want to. I have a copy of Battle Revolution. I think I have a Wii somewhere. I want to go into Battle Revolution. You can actually get a Magmar and an Electabuzz from Battle Revolution as gift Pokemon, and you can move them out into the main series games. And that's like, it's just like, I have so many Magmars, Electabuzzes, shiny Magmars, shiny Electabuzzes. Like, I have so many, but I don't have some from Battle Revolution, and I want that. Like, and that's why I would. If I didn't have a copy of Battle Revolution, I would go out and get a copy of Battle Revolution to be like, I want those two specific Pokemon. I think that's so cool. I think that's so interesting. The second that's all disconnected, whenever that day comes of Diamond and Pearl, X and Y, Black and White, they cannot move into Sword and Shield. Like, that connection is broken. I don't care about those games anymore. They're just... Mm-hmm. Like, my memories won't be gone, right? Like, I still will be think very fondly of my time in Alola.
Just kidding.
But,
yeah.
Like, I have no reason to own a copy of Pokemon Crystal or Pokemon Yellow because the compatibility is not there yet. There was no compatibility between... Like, I don't think it's talked about enough of, like, a lot of people my age fell off on Gen 3. And... You could say, I think an easy reason is like Pokemon came out when I was 10. So, you know, still in elementary school, early middle school, you're getting like closer to the end of middle school and then high school. And like that stopped being cool when Gen 3 came out. But a big part of that was compatibility. Like knowing that there were two new Pokemon games coming and the Pokemon you moved from Pokemon Red into Pokemon Yellow into Pokemon Silver into Pokemon Crystal. All of a sudden cannot move. Like that was such a turnoff. And there was no Twitter back then. There was no Reddit back then. There was no Facebook back then to like go on to complain about. But that was a huge thing of like, oh, maybe I'm getting too old for Pokemon. Oh, and I can't even move my Pokemon over. Like I'm done with this series. Like I'm moving on.
It was big enough that they even came out and said after that happened, like I don't know if they went as far as to apologize, but they definitely were like, we're not doing that again.
They did. They yeah. did say that when they announced, when was
Fire
that?
Leaf.
Was that like virtual console
Leaf.
Games or something?
Fire Red, Leaf Green, I think. Didn't they say that when they announced? Because they were like, well, here's Gen 1 again, and sorry, but we're not going to make it so you can't bring those Pokemon up here again.
Yeah.
I think it was right around that time.
Possibly, yeah.
And I think they've done a good job
They know that our Pokemon are sentimental.
Mm-hmm.
They know that people care about the Pokemon that they have shared travels and years and adventures and achievements with. Yeah.
I think maybe they didn't realize how much that would be true. I mean, there were, this was years ago, right? So there were whatever reasons that they had for the not being able to bring things forward or just the way that they decided to do things. But I think once they got the feedback of what happened, the feedback that they could from what happened, I think they were like, oh, like people really care about these characters. They want to take them with them all the way up, you know? So, and they've done, like you said, they've done a great job of it since then. You know, they,
as it's of not now, the you can smoothest still process, from, but you can do it. Through,
you know,
yeah. It takes a little effort.
Yeah. It's not super easy, but
like, I don't any fault other game. Them for eventually closing this connection.
Yeah.
Cause like if you have a, how old is your Blaziken, Hannah?
Since Pokemon Ruby came out, probably since the day those games released.
If you have a Blaziken that old and you haven't moved it by now to a current game, like it's not like
I was trying to get ribbons on
sure,
her.
But
thank
what I'm saying is they have given us 10
time.
Plus years, right? They've yeah. given you a long time to move it forward. It's yeah. it's not like a, you know, like a Niantic thing where it's like, you got 1 week to buy this ticket. If you don't buy this ticket, you'll never see this Pokemon again. Good luck. Right. They've given a lot, and I can't think of another series that has had so much backwards compatibility. Like, there are people that have been playing World of Warcraft for like a decade and stuff. There have been people playing Final Fantasy 14. Like, there are still people that have played Final Fantasy 11, right? And that game hasn't been updated for years. But there's nothing like Pokemon where it's like, I have a 20-year-old Pokemon that I've moved through 16 different games. I've moved it to X, I've moved it to Y, I've moved it to Omega, I've moved it to Ultra Sun, Regular Sun, Ultra Moon, Regular Moon. There's just nothing like that. And I think that's why I go back to older Pokemon games. Whereas I wouldn't go back to older games in general. Like Link's Awakening, one of my favorite games. They came out with a remake. Did I buy it? No, because as a kid, it was like one of my two games for like 4 years. I had Link's Awakening and I had Kirby. And so I played a lot of Link's Awakening. I like it a lot. I have fond memories of it. It was really great. Beat that game a million times. Did I buy the one on Switch? No, I've been there, done that. Super Mario RPG, yeah. They came out with a new one. Did I buy it? No, because again, another game I played a million times. I would rather play new games. But with Pokemon, it's like, if I play this old game, I can bring this into a new game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm super excited to get my Let's Go Pikachu Annihilate in a couple weeks when I move him over.
I do think that it's important for games to continue to be available for people who haven't played them before, though, and that's a slightly different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to a game you have already played before and revisiting a remake of a game you've played before is a completely different experience from revisiting an old game you haven't played before. Like, right. In my process of bringing Blaziken up, realized I never actually finished the Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon games somehow. I had forgotten that, and I need to replay those. And that's, I think, still going to be a good experience, even though that's playing a game from a while ago at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's the easy solution of, like, put Red and Blue on the virtual console that, like, well, first off, they haven't used the word virtual console in like 8 years. But like, put like Red and Blue on the Switch so we can play it and go back to it. I'm for that. Like, I'm definitely not against that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were like, we're putting Red and Blue on to the Switch, but it won't work with Pokemon Home, I wouldn't get it. I'm not interested. Like,
right.
First off, those games are kind of dog water at this point, but still, like, but like, if I can't go through and be like, I'm gonna move this Mewtwo from Red and Blue into Scarlet and Violet, like, I'm not interested. I want that. I know that's not for everyone. Somebody just wants their nostalgia. They just want to go through it because their childhood. Mm-hmm. But like, if I'm going back to an old game, like an old Pokemon game, I want to be able to take what I do in that game and move it forward.
Well,
yeah,
and
that's a very Pokemon specific thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's the thing that I was going to say is that these games give people options, right? So if you want to go back and play an older game so you can take a Pokemon all the way through, you can do that. If you want to just go back and play an older game to just play the older game, you can also do that. The thing for me is knowing that you can bring Pokemon up now, but then when that's not available anymore, do I want to, like, I don't mind playing older games when I know, like, that's the way the game is. And you play the older game and it's done and it's over and that's the end and that's fine. But in this case, it's like, well, right now I can play the older game and bring the Pokemon up. And then, like, let's say in 6 months, I play the older game and I can't bring the Pokemon up. Knowing that I could at one point and now I can't, is there something different there to me? Like, it's going to make me feel a way about it where I probably won't want to go back and play the game. And I don't know if that has to do with the way Pokemon games, with a story for Pokemon games or something, where it's not, maybe that's not the biggest thing for me and for a lot of people probably with Pokemon games. I don't need to go and play that older game to experience that in the same way. There's something about it. There's something about knowing that now I can move the Pokemon up. But if I play that game in maybe 6 months or a year from now, it's going to be a different experience. You're going to lose a part of what makes the Pokemon game, the Pokemon series, the Pokemon series, in a way. Not to say that your experience is going to be worse, or that you may love those older games where that you can't even move things up, and that's totally fine. But part of the Pokemon series has been being able to move things up, and it's losing that on the older games. And so it feels like it's losing a part of what makes the Pokemon series the Pokemon series. And to your point, like, they eventually have to cut it somewhere, because there's going to be, like you said, security things that they don't want to have to go and patch old stuff, especially when Nintendo's not even supporting the online system and things like that. But I don't know. Like, it just feels like it's losing something. It's losing part of the essence of it being a Pokemon series game by not being able to move things up.
It does seem like now with the Switch stuff, because Pokemon Home is a mobile app, that there is some level of security going forward there. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, Pokemon Bank was this 3DS only app, and we all knew, even while playing the 3DS, that this is not going to last forever.
Even though they introduced it by saying, like, two generations down the line, you would be able to share Pokemon.
Yeah.
That you caught then and there.
Right.
But it's like, but the 3DS is not Game Freak's product, or like the Pokemon company's product, right? They're constrained by the hardware limitations of that device. Whereas Pokemon Home can work on the Switch, it can work on an Android phone, it can work on a Apple phone. Like, that app is theirs, and they just need to place that app somewhere. They never placed Pokemon Bank anywhere but the 3DS. Where at least with this one, it's on three different platforms. Android,
yeah,
iOS.
There's more variety.
Yeah.
They could make Apple and Google really mad and get kicked out of the app stores. But
somehow.
They're gonna contest, like, Epic and just get banned.
Yeah. But perfect. There is more variety now. That is true. It's in multiple places. So there's more security just in that they have more platforms that they're on. So that is good. But still, to your point, like, I still think it would have been great if they introduced these older games, if for nothing else, just introduce them onto the Switch in some way, like in some
maybe
kind of capacity.
Switch.
Yeah, maybe future.
Well, kinda... onto modern day systems, so that, like, because people, we'll see what the comments say, but people still love the older games. Mm-hmm. People do love playing the older games, and why wouldn't Nintendo and the Pokemon company want, especially Nintendo, want to be like, well, all these games are here on the Switch. Like, come buy a Switch. You have the 3DS. You're playing these older games here. Come buy a Switch. You can play the older games on the Switch as well.
Because those games are Mario Kart.
We've discussed it a few times.
Those games are not Mario Kart 8, the only game Nintendo cares about.
But the revisits of older games like that, ports of older games like that, don't make nearly as much money as new games. Not to mention the way that the Switch has handled ports of old games means that the money probably wouldn't be going to the Pokemon Company as much anyways. So there's a lot of reasons in the systems we have right now that I think are why we're not getting those ports anymore.
Right. Yeah. And I guess it is a different experience when you're playing those games on the systems that they were originally made for, right? Like, there is definitely a difference in, like, I take enjoyment in playing a older Pokemon game on the 3DS, or in my case now the 2DS XL, but on that like system versus going to the Switch where it's got the OLED screen and everything you're playing. There's differences, right? There is a charm and something to playing it on that older system the way that it was played to some extent versus playing it on the brand new system and having it, you know. But I just want them there. What I really want, okay, this is what it comes down to, is I just want Alola on the Switch. However they need to do that. They make a Pokemon Stars. They just put it on as a virtual thing. Some way for me to visit Alola on a Switch, then I don't care after that. That's all I want.
I think the only thing they could have done better or planned out, if anyone knew what was going to happen, like, I think Game Freak / any developer knew that Nintendo Online on the 3DS was not going to last forever. We're just not going to support these servers. We're not going to keep up security. We're not going to keep patching loopholes or whatever. Like, every developer knew that this was going to happen. It just, there is a little, like, why didn't they build a different app or update Pokemon Bank for better security / future proofing that when the servers go down? Because again, they did say this isn't going to last forever. Like, it will last after Nintendo's servers shut down. It will still work, but maybe you should transfer your Pokemon sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bummer to see there was no like final update to Pokemon Bank to be like,
right,
here's the solution going forward. And I don't know what that would be, right? Like, in my head, it would be like, we're going to generate you a one-time QR code. You're going to scan it. That's going to move the Pokemon over. You don't need any online. It will delete the Pokemon. Like, probably not a great way to do that. Like, there's probably
security.
That's
not how Pokemon Banks to begin. That's not how Pokemon Bank works to begin with, because your Pokemon aren't stored on your 3DS. Your Pokemon are stored in the servers that they're going to have to shut down eventually.
Right, right. So it's like, I don't know what that solution would have been besides, like, we built this thing 10 years ago. And we can't make it any better. And now Pokemon Home exists. And that's better. And more future-proof. But this was the best we could do. Yeah. And I think there are fans that are jaded or upset that, like, they missed that opportunity to even download Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transporter. And there's no way to get that. Well, there's no correct way to get that. There's no ethical way. I don't know how to word that.
You could still secondhand buy a system with it on it.
You could.
That was legitimately downloaded on it, and you can.
There are 3DSs being sold on eBay.
They are selling for more than just your typical 3DS because of the fact that they have Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transporter and stuff on them. So,
I bought a Wii with my Pokemon Ranch on it. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have never plugged that Wii in. I have no clue if it actually has.
Oh, no.
I bought it like a couple months before I moved. And so, like, it arrived. I was like, yeah, it looks like everything is here. And then I immediately put it back in the box and then it got packed and it's somewhere in my house.
Can't believe you bought a console and didn't like turn it on. Like, just to see that the console powers.
I trusted the source I bought it from. I wasn't worried I was gonna get like scammed. If anything, I worry that like just the hardware failed.
Hey, that's not even like, I bought the first 3DS that I bought, I actually bought from a friend. It made it for a real awkward situation. So I bought the 3DS from a friend. They also gave me Pokemon X or something just to play. Like they let me borrow it because I didn't have any games yet, but I bought the 3DS from them. And I go home and I power on the 3DS and it powers on. And then maybe like 15 minutes into playing it, it starts acting all weird. And so I turned it off and like I turned it, it wouldn't turn back on. And then I like, you know, I read up online at the time because I was like, what's going on? And then there was that whole like issue with the 3DS having that wire that goes between the screens that would get like would happen with it and it would mess.
Oh,
it would,
I know. I remember what you're talking about.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. That issue, right? Obviously, I trusted my friend. Like, it was my friend. It wasn't like some random person. And I could go to the person, and I did go to the person and was like, it's broken. Like, I took it home for one day and it's not working now. But like, I promise I didn't do anything to it. I just turned it on to play the game. And it was a whole awkward situation. I mean, we're still friends and everything, but it was like an awkward situation. But like, I also trusted that source. But like, these things happen with these systems, especially
people are like, why did you buy a Wii U with My Pokemon Ranch? Same thing that happened, right? Like the Wii U stuff shut down. There was no way to get My Pokemon Ranch. My Pokemon Ranch, like Pokemon Battle Revolution, has a couple exclusive Pokemon. One of those is a Mew. Mm-hmm. Now I have like 40 Mews. I have the Mew from Toys R Us. I got the Mew from HeartGold SoulSilver. Maybe that was the Toys R Us one. I got the Mews from Pokeball Plus. I got the Mew from the Scarlet and Violet. Like, I got a lot of Mews. I don't have a Mew with the OT of Haley.
Yes. Because
that is the camp owner of My Pokemon Ranch, the ranch owner. Mm-hmm. And I believe to get the Mew, you have to move in 1,000 Pokemon into the ranch. And then she's like, good job. And then she's like, here's a Mew.
I think I did that.
If they want me to get that Mew, once they announce that it's shutting down in a month, I've really got to move.
You should turn that Wii U on before they announce that they're shutting it down.
I should
bank.
Start that journey to get Haley's Mew. I think there's a couple other Pokemon you get on the way. I think there's like a Pikachu.
I see a new Twitch series starting for you of getting that Pokemon Ranch Mew.
I would say My Pokemon Ranch is enjoyable, but it's not engaging in the same way.
Yeah, it is a
I really liked it.
Pre-Pokemon Bank. But you can like see Pokemon moving around, which is like fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's our episode for you guys. Like I said, if there's any news that came out after we recorded this early because I will be in Florida. And if I saw you in Orlando, cool. If I didn't, Sorry you missed me, but we'll be back next week. This has been another episode. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Hannah. This has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super effective.
Super keeping a very close eye on if they bring the Beast Ball back in Pokemon Go when Necrozma's in the game. Just watching out for that.
They're going to mess it up.
Just to make Steve mad. Just
they're going to mess it up. This podcast is brought to you by Patreon. A huge shout out to our producers, starting with Stephen, Kay, Tone, Stuart, Matthew, Bovine, Catherine, Josh, Jessica, Fumes, Courtney, Brian, Brady, and a huge shout out to our executive producer of Spencer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. If you would like your name read at the end of the episode, or you just want to support our podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/PKMNCAST to support the show and to join our Patreon. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you all next week.